Chapter 19. Back at the retirement center, Helen didn't waste any time on her goal of getting more votes. She spied potential victims watching TV as soon as they entered the lobby and headed over.
Celia, Ellen, Mary, so good to see you.
Helen exuberantly shook hands with the blue-haired ladies, who seemed a bit perturbed at being interrupted during their soap opera. It was General Hospital, and Lexi couldn't blame them. Luke was up to something on his casino boat, and she was sure it was no good.
Have you had a chance to think of who you want for community center president?
Helen stood in front of them, blocking the view of the television.
Not really.
Celia tried to peer around Helen.
Don't forget that I promise to have free coffee on Saturdays.
Helen leaned in and lowered her voice.
I can really come through with my promises, unlike some people who might promise the moon and not be able to deliver.
Helen, are you coming?
Nance punched the button for the elevator. Helen glanced over.
In a minute.
She looked back down at the women who were craning to watch TV around her.
Now, the coffee isn't the only thing I will do, of course.
If we promise to vote for you, will you let us watch our show?
Ellen asked. Helen glanced behind her at the TV.
Your show? Sure. A vote is a vote, no matter how I get it, I suppose.
Great, then we all promise to vote for you.
Mary waved her hand for Helen to step to the side. Helen shrugged.
Great, then. See you there, tonight at 7 p.m.
She hurried off toward the elevator. Everyone was already inside, and Ida impatiently held the door for her.
About time, Ida said as she repeatedly punched the button to close the door.
Nance could barely wait for the doors to open on the second floor before she bolted to her apartment, shoved the key in the lock, and pushed the door open. She was at the whiteboard before the rest of them even got inside.
The exciting event of another victim really sheds a different light on this case.
Nance made another column and added the information about Ruby.
It seems to indicate that Henry really is innocent, just like Muriel thought, Ruth said.
Do we have any snacks?
Ida yelled from the kitchen.
I can't think about clues on an empty stomach.
In the bottom drawer,
Nance yelled back.
Now, let's go over what we know.
We know that both victims knew each other and were in the Circo Acrobata.
Helen glanced at her watch.
Don't worry, Helen, we still have a few hours left before voting, Ruth said. And we know that Henry couldn't have killed Ruby.
And we know that Vinny thinks that the Circo Acrobata people had something to do with the Broadmoor heist, Lexi said. Nance nodded.
Putting two and two together, we can assume the deaths had something to do with the heist. Either the two women were involved, or they knew something.
Ida came out of the kitchen with a serving tray full of cut-up vegetables and some dip, her disgusted expression indicating her disappointment in the snacks. The smell of percolating coffee wafted out from behind her, and Lexi heard the old-fashioned coffee urn gurgle.
I could only find these vegetables. Guess we ate all the pastries.
Veggies are good for you.
Helen picked up a carrot and chomped off a bite as if to prove her point.
I think we've had enough pastry with all the bakeries we've been visiting.
I haven't.
Ida picked up a celery stick and made a face before nibbling on the end.
Ladies,
Nance tapped the marker on the whiteboard.
Can we stick to the case? We've had two murders, and I'd like to solve it before there's a third.
Fine, Ida said. Let's assume the heist and the murders are related. All we need to do is figure out if one of our suspects has the loot from the heist and we have our man.
Maybe.
Nans thought this over.
But what if Ruby or Rosa had the loot, and the killer did away with them to take it?
Maybe Rosa and Henry had it, and Ruby killed Rosa and took it, and then someone found out Ruby had it and killed her so they could take it, Helen said.
Either way, if we find the loot, we find the killer,
Ida said. Right. And what was stolen in the heist? Valuable antiques. Vases. Paintings.
Helen nodded at them knowingly.
And whose windows were we looking in earlier that had antiques, vases, and paintings? Mario Blondini.
Lots of people have vases and antiques, Ruth pointed out.
All the clues point to Mario. He's sneaky. He has antiques. He was in the Circo Acrobata.
The sound of a bag crinkling interrupted Helen, and all eyes turned to Ida, who looked up at them sheepishly.
Sorry, I got hungry for real food. I only have part of a corn muffin left, or I'd share.
She shoved a muffin top into her mouth and crinkled the bag into a ball.
Wait a minute. Lexi reached for the bag, her eyes on the Blue Bee logo.
Now she remembered where she'd seen that before. On a box in Mario's dining room. She smoothed the wrinkles in the bag and held it up. Helen might be onto something. I've been looking at the logos on the bags so I could compare them to the cup and cake logo. And I saw this logo on a pastry box in Mario's dining room.
Which proves that Mario was at Sugar Daddy's, the bakery that sells the corn muffins with sugar crystals on top.
Helen was more excited than the day she won the big prize at bingo. Ida, not so much. She made a face and shook her head.
I don't know, Helen. That seems kind of flimsy. No, it's perfect. All we have to do is prove that Mario is the killer. Then he will be disqualified from the election, and I'll win by default. We need to get a confession out of him right away.
Helen jumped up from the table and ran out the door before anyone could stop her.